What's up, everybody? This is the Couch Co-op Podcast, episode number 8. Bringing you the latest and greatest in gaming news. Wow, I totally just botched that intro just after that first great sentence. I lost my flow.
I thought it sounded good.
Well, like, I had something else I was going to say after it, and I totally
forgot. I thought that sounded pretty good. I was still pumped up about the countdown.
So. Yeah, that's true. Gamescom was this past week, which is the majority of what's on our hit list. Well, sadly, I only got to watch the Sony conference while I was at work. So, most of the news is Sony announcements, and that's not bias by us or anything.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
no,
I'm just kidding.
No, I have an Xbox One. You know, I'm an Xbox guy.
This is just what I was available to watch during the week.
I didn't even watch any of it. I heard about some of it.
Some good stuff.
You know, I've been busy. Learned how to drive a forklift this past week. So
nice, that's fun.
I've been busy.
But yeah, Gamescom keeps getting more and more popular every year. This year was pretty. It was like E3's son kind of thing. Like, you know, you had your three major press conferences, and they all had some decent announcements throughout them. So it was just like, you know, it's a good all around conference. So the hit list today.
The hit list
has 9 items.
All right, I want to ask one question, though, real quick.
Yeah.
This first item, does it have anything to do with that random countdown?
Yeah.
Is that who that was?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So.
I saw it. I saw the countdown. I was like, I wonder.
I did some little investigating during that one.
I know. I saw you posted a few things about it.
So, number one on the hit list is Overkill Software's countdown clock finally struck zero this past week during Gamescom, and it was announced that they are making a Walking Dead co-op game in partnership with Robert Kirkman, the creator of the Walking Dead universe. Sounds awesome to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched the video when he was talking about how he liked Payday 2 so good that
so good.
So much. Sorry. Anyways, he was saying that it was so good that he it made him want to work with them on something. So
yeah, Payday was awesome. Payday 2, well, both of them. Payday 1 and Payday 2.
Yeah, Payday 1 and Payday 2 were both good.
But, like, this countdown clock has been one of the coolest pieces of marketing for a video game that I've seen in a long time. Because they put it up a month ago. They had, like, 30-something days.
I'm surprised that nobody figured out what it was before the countdown was on.
Well, like, what I think happened, like, with me, like, I checked it on it the first day, and then, like, I forgot about it until, like, it said 2 days left. So, what I did, like, whenever I finally came back to visit it, like, I listened to the audio, and I realized that it was different audio. So, like, I wonder how many, like, different days of audio they did. Probably every day, like, a different piece of audio of the world collapsing.
Yeah, probably.
The zombie apocalypse or something. But, like, the last two I listened to were, like, one was a repeating message, and then, like, a guy came on to the broadcast station and said that they will no longer be broadcasting because it's too dangerous and blah, blah, blah. And, like, I was just like, this is awesome. Like,
that's crazy.
I wish more people do, like, cool marketing type stuff.
Yeah, it's hard, though, sometimes because things do get leaked.
Yeah.
Like, you could do that kind of stuff with a lot of games, but it's just hard because once it gets leaked, it kind of takes all the fun out of it. You're like, oh, well, I already know.
Right.
You know?
But yeah, that was definitely a good build-up because nobody knew that they were going to work with Robert Kirkman or anything, so.
Yep.
Number two. This one's pretty staggering, so prepare yourself. PS4 has already sold 10 million units to consumers. Not in stores, but to, like, individual people. Making it the fastest-selling console of all time so far.
Hmm.
Which is insane. Like, it's only been about 9 months. So that's, like, average of a million a month.
I will say,
Or a million and a...
PS4 definitely... Once everything started coming out, PS4 definitely had the upper hand as far as the games that were more exclusive to PS4,
pricing
and stuff like that. Yeah, and the pricing definitely was a big deal. But I think the problem was with that a lot of people had was that the Xbox, I mean, the Xbox had exclusives, you know, like Titanfall and all that. But people got tired of the Xbox exclusives really fast. Mm,
true.
And they just couldn't get traction, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing is you got two systems. The exclusives that went to the Xbox weren't really that good. So you're playing all the games that you can play on PS4 and Xbox One, and the PS4 is cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't you go with that? I mean, it's a really good strategy on their part. Plus, I think as far as people that are buying the PS4 ahead of time for exclusives that will come out.
Right. Like the Order.
The PS4, I think, is going to have a lot better exclusives. The Xbox One's got Sunset Overdrive's coming out. And I'm pretty excited about that one. And then Halo, I think, will be pretty good. But everything else that's coming out soon is coming out for both consoles.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I don't know.
Go for the cheaper one, man.
Yeah, go for the one that sold 10 million in 9 months. That's, like, almost unheard of. Number three, Thomas Was Alone developer Mike Bithell announces that they're making a new unique stealth strategy puzzle.
Mm.
Puzzler, or whatever.
Interesting.
Called Volume. And it looked really cool. I don't know if you played Thomas Is Alone or anything.
I saw it. Is that the one with the... It's just a little block.
Yeah.
I saw it. I've never played it, though.
So good. Really satisfying. But this Volume has the same narrator from Thomas Was Alone. And, like, you know, he's got that British voice.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it sounds really good. But it looks interesting. Like, you see guards on patterns, but... It's not, it seems confusing, of course, it's a puzzle game, but, mm-hmm. like, it's more of, like, a top-down, like you're not in third person, per se, it's more like a map type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That you maneuver through.
I can do that.
Looks pretty cool,
though. I like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I like puzzlers and stuff like that, but it's basically, if I play anything on a tablet, on my iPad, I'm playing puzzlers, because mm-hmm. I like games that I can sit down and not have to have, like, a full controller and all that stuff.
Right.
And actually, like, use my mind, you know, because you can take your tablet out and sit down and you can play these games that you don't necessarily have to get completely invested into, like, oh, I need to beat the next level or, you know, I need to complete this mission or whatever. Stuff like this where the puzzler games are just short and sweet, you know?
Right.
So you can take them out and you get your little fix, you know, waiting in an airport or, you know, maybe even taking a dump, whatever.
You can enjoy it in small little bits instead of, like, all at one time. Number four. This one I'm super excited about.
I'm really excited now. I didn't know this, and I just read it on the paper, so I'm like, yeah, bro.
DayZ is coming to PlayStation 4 eventually. Okay. We don't know when. We didn't even see anything. Like, we didn't see it running on a PlayStation 4. All we know is that it's coming. And I hope
was it announced? Did somebody from the company?
The creator of the DayZ mod came out and said that they're working with Sony to bring it to PS4.
That will be amazing.
Yes, it will. Like,
I mean, not even worried about this Walking Dead universe anymore. You got freaking DayZ's coming out.
But, you know, just more zombie hunting for all of us.
My question is it going to be more of a, is it going to be up to scale with the computer
that version? They're saying they want it to be, like, the same as the finished PC game.
Because, I mean, I haven't played DayZ, but I've heard, I have a few friends that play it pretty substantially, and I've heard some great stories about that game, like, just amazing things that you can do, mm-hmm. Because it's based on,
Arma 2.
Arma 2, and, you know, there's so many things that you can do on there, you know, they were telling me about, you know, you can just live out your entire life in that game, never coming into contact with anybody.
Right, yeah.
If you're careful, you know. And then there's the, you know, the whole scavenging thing. Like, he was telling me that, you know, sometimes you'll find, like, a stick, you know, somebody was fighting with a stick, and then somebody might have, like, a 50-cal sniper rifle. So, I mean,
they also added hunting now. So, like, you can hunt animals and cook the meat and stuff. Pretty cool. But I'm just, like, just, yes, I can't wait for it.
It's going to be fun. Yeah. Yeah, it seems like a lot of this stuff, a lot of these games that you hear about, these great games that are coming out, and they're so good, just like Destiny, it's just, you either play a demo of it, or you hear that it's coming out, and you see, like, a trailer or something,
And then we didn't even get a trailer. We just...
Yeah, exactly. But it's still, it just seems, after you see something about it and you know how good it is, it seems like it takes forever. Yeah.
So it's probably going to feel like 6 years.
Yeah, it's going to be like, dang.
But yeah. Whatever, at least it'll probably be in time for me to actually be able to have a PS4 by then.
Yeah, I know, right?
Number five. The Heavenly Sword Makers, the, you know, the launch title for the PS3.
Yep.
Way back when, is making a new game called Hellblade. It essentially looks like Heavenly Sword, but a sequel. But except
the opposite.
Yeah.
Because it's from hell.
I think Sony wanted them to make a sequel to Heavenly Sword.
Yeah.
But that developer didn't want to. So, since Sony owns Heavenly Sword, the title, they just went ahead and made a game with a new title or something like that. I can't remember. Whatever. You get what I'm saying.
I got you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm following what you're dishing out.
So yeah, it was just like a cinematic trailer. I mean, cool, I guess. I never played Heavenly Sword, so.
I honestly didn't even really know what it was.
Some red-haired chick with a big sword. Like God of War or something like that. Mm. I don't know. Number six. Destiny is the most pre-ordered new IP of all time.
Good.
Which explains all those legendary or limited edition shortage.
Being gone. Yeah, oh, yeah, I forgot to look that up. I completely forgot about that.
Well, that answers your question right there. That's why. Because it's selling like hot cakes, they just as they say.
Yeah, they just can't keep up with it.
So, yeah, that one's pretty short. Destiny's cool. We're going to buy it. We're going to play it.
Yeah, we are. No, I have two copies of it.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Number seven. The first interactive teaser ever was announced / released during the PlayStation conference at Gamescom. PT. Casey.
Shakes his head.
I heard you love it.
Shakes his head.
I heard
no.
you love this.
No. I don't. And I'm not going to spoil this for anybody, but screw you, Austin. That's all I have to say about this game.
Well, by the time they hear this...
I will say, beautiful game.
It is. It looks...
Beautiful.
It looks real.
That's what drew me in. But screw that game.
Yeah. Oh, like...
Hands down.
By the time they hear this, they'll probably already know what it is anyway. So...
It makes Outlast seem like you're playing with blocks and shit.
Right,
like a baby.
Yeah. This is essentially... Well, no, this is the teaser for the new Silent Hill with Hideo Kojima and... Guillermo del Toro. I don't remember how to say his name.
Guillermo del Toro?
But.
Something like that.
And it features Norman Reedus as the main character in this game.
I don't care who it is. I don't even care anymore. I don't care about this game.
But the teaser.
I gave up on it.
The teaser is this one hallway. It's an L-shaped hallway. And it's in, like, you go through that same hallway in an endless loop. And so... And scary stuff just
yeah,
starts
that,
happening.
That sounds really boring, but I'm telling you.
It's random every time.
It drew me in. And it's a scary game.
Yeah.
And I hate scary games. And I won't lie. I was intrigued by it. Even though I almost shit myself.
Right.
I was still like, man, this is making me think, you know?
Mm-hmm.
One thing I told whenever me and Austin were talking about it. Austin was the one that showed me or told me about it. And he knows that I don't like scary games, but he decided to tell me that it was a beautiful and fun-loving game.
Just to trick you into playing it.
So I came home, and I was all pumped about it, and I downloaded it, and then I realized that it was scary as shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I was talking to Austin about it, and I said, you know what? I realized after the first round through, whenever it was the same hallway, I realized that I needed to start focusing on things that were in case something was changing. So I took my time going down the hallway every time. And the first thing you come up on the right is just a little, like, indention in the wall.
With that clock.
Yeah, and has a clock on it, like a...
Like an iHome looking
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, kind of looking thing. And every single time I went by there, I checked the time. I made sure,
it was always
like, I remembered.
1 minute to midnight was the time.
So I was like, I got to check it every time, just in case. Because if it changes, that's how I know something's about to go down. But I only made it about 3 or 4 rounds through the hallway, and then I gave up.
That's a pretty good step, because like, I played it with a group, and so I only did one lap, and then we would, yeah. But dead gum, that game is scary. Like,
And it's not, it's not like, see, I mean, I can't really say because I didn't get that far in.
And it's not even like necessarily gory or anything.
But yeah,
it's just disturbing.
That's the thing. See, Outlast was
gory and
gross.
Yeah,
when you look at it, you're like, man, that is gross. Yeah. Like, it's just very visually scary. But
this one, you just hear a lot of things.
PT is just like, it makes you be scared without anything being in front of you.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You have no reason to really be afraid, but you're scared because you're just like, all these noises are going off, and it's one of the most jumpy games I've ever seen in my life. It was one of those things where I got stuck in a hallway and I couldn't figure out where to go, and there was a door that creaked open. And I walked past the door multiple times and nothing happened. And I would even stop, I'd look in the room, and then I'd keep walking. But then finally I was like, it's the only door that's open, so I'm going to have to do something here. So I go up, and it doesn't tell you what the buttons
are
on the controller. So I was sitting there, and I was like, X, circle, square, triangle, right, left. And finally I hit the zoom button, and I zoomed in, and I was like, maybe I can see something. So I was looking down this tiny little door crack, and all of a sudden something just was like, just like jump right out at
me door.
And slams the door, and I mean,
it's terrifying.
I have never been so scared in my life. I've had things jump out at me at scary haunted houses and stuff, and it was daytime when this happened. The window was open.
Right.
And it just scared the shit out of me.
Well, like, the more and more that you go, like, the crazier and crazier thing get to go or get started, whatever. So,
happen.
Yes, happened. So, like, I think we did it roughly around 15 lap or loops around that thing, 15 to 20 loops, and we never actually beat the teaser, which we still don't really know how to. But
can you beat it?
Yeah, there's a way to beat the teaser, and then you get the trailer for Silent Hill, the new Silent Hill. So, but, like, one of the craziest things is that, like, there's that light in the foyer with the coat hanger and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's always, like, swinging back and forth a little bit.
Yep.
But at one point when you go through it, all the lights are red. And then there's a fridge with, I'm assuming, a body in it swinging instead of the light. And there's just blood leaking all over the floor. It was terrifying.
No.
Like, terrifying.
No, I don't want any part in that. You guys can play all you want. No.
And then the scariest one, and, like, you have to see this game to realize, like, it looks real, essentially.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and,
like,
and that was one thing that got me was the very first, when I come out of that first room, I walked into the hallway, and I took about 2 steps forward, and then I was like, wait. So I took 2 steps back, I backed up, I put my back against the door, and I was like, babe, come in here. Now, Amanda doesn't really play video games.
Right.
Okay, but I mean, she'll watch me play them and, you know, stuff, but she, as far as she goes, she doesn't really have that much of a comparison on how good things look as far as video games go. And I was like, come in here, because I knew, I was like, she's even going to be able to recognize how smooth this looks.
Yeah.
And she come in and I was like, look at how good these graphics are. And she was like, wow, that is amazing.
It looked like a real house.
It looked so good.
Which made it even more terrifying.
It did. It made it seem like it was more real, you know. So.
Yeah. But, like, one of the creepiest ones that we ran into is that you have that same chick who was always, like, you know, poking around, doing seizures and stuff in the hallway.
Yep.
Well, one time we were walking, we turned around that corner, and then a picture frame falls from above in the balcony area. So, like, a picture frame falls and it breaks on the floor. We're just like, what in the world? And so, like, we walk into the foyer, turn around and look up, and she's just chilling up there with this creepy grin on her face, and then she just backs away and disappears.
You can have all of my notes.
Oh, that game's terrifying. Like, terrifying. So, yeah. It's free, too, so you should download
it. Yeah, it is. It's free.
And it's random every time.
People that aren't big babies like me should download this game.
Because
it was just, even if you don't make it all the way down even the first hallway.
Just to see what it looks like.
Just to see how good it looks and where we're heading towards in graphics-wise.
Yeah, and they said they toned the graphics down for this demo to make it seem like an indie title whenever you first put it in. So that way people unknowingly will download it and then play the teaser for Silent Hill.
Man, it was crazy, though. It was really good. Yeah,
really, really good. All right, let's do number 8 of the hit list. That was a good little diversion, because that game's good. Anyways, number 8. So SharePlay on PlayStation Plus was announced during their conference, and this allows PlayStation Plus subscribers to play games with their friends over, like, internet, even if their friends don't have the game. So kind of like Far Cry 4, how you can, they give you a certain amount of keys to give out to friends, mm-hmm. who get, like, 2-hour slots in your game, but in this one, like, you can play together as long as you want with PlayStation Plus.
So just out of curiosity, because me and Austin were talking about this, actually, yesterday. If I were to buy The Last of Us Remastered, and I wanted to play the multiplayer with Austin, but Austin didn't have the game, we could load that up and use SharePlay for us to both play online together.
In theory, yeah. That's what it should do. I think, like, what you would do is that you would make a party in The Last of Us Remastered, and then send an invite to Austin using SharePlay, and then Austin would accept and then just be able to hop in and play. Okay. I think that's how that works.
I wonder how, if that's the case, how smoothly Austin's the game would play. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one thing people are running into problems with PlayStation Now, the streaming games to your console. So, is the latency issue. Like, on Twitch shooters, like Killzone and stuff like that, like, there's a noticeable delay. Yeah,
any kind of shooter, you can tell if your bullets aren't going when they need to be.
And it's not like, it's not the game lagging, it's more, like they say, it feels more like the controller to the TV's lagging, because that's having to stream that information back and forth so quickly, because you're moving around in those games constantly.
Yeah.
So, we'll just have to see how it works, really. It'll be like a
I think they would be a little bit more, I mean, you could always get hackers that would take advantage of this, but I think it would be a little more productive if they did it to where you could download the game.
Or, like, well, then, like, that would take a while, though.
Yeah, but it'd be better than trying to fight with,
in order to download a game, you would have to pay some sort of transaction so that you would be allowed to download it. Like, even if they tried to do it that way.
I mean, like, you know, they have things where you can rent movies and stuff nowadays. And, I mean, it doesn't necessarily download to your computer when you rent the movie. But if they would do that to where it would download it and basically just put a lock on it and say, okay, well, you can play this game for this many hours. Now, that's the thing is if you download it, you say, like, I want to download this game for free for 2 hours. Whatever, right? Mm-hmm. I think that it's one of those things where you should have to keep going back, like go back to the PlayStation thing and say, hey, I want to keep this a little bit longer, I'll keep it a little bit longer, whatever. But put a certain amount of time on it to where, like, you can only play this game for a week before it deletes off of your console. And then it'll just wipe everything off of your console. It'll keep all of your save files, but the game itself would be wiped.
Right. Yeah.
And then if you want to do it again, then you'll have to reinstall it. And that, I mean, even though you'll have to install it multiple times, it would be a lot faster when you're playing it. Mm-hmm. And you would have it for a whole week, you know.
Right, yeah.
Something like that. But they'd definitely have to put, like, some kind of spyware or whatever on it to keep people from just downloading it and keeping it forever, you know.
Well, we'll just have to see, like, how it works in action instead of in theory. So, like, I assume they have something figured out to where it will work fairly well. I mean, and of course, you know, internet speed's always just going to get faster and faster. So maybe, like, by this time next year, like,
and that's another thing is that there could be some people who are on a really bad connection.
Right, yeah.
And some people who are running on, you know, the best connection, and it just is having trouble syncing all of that stuff together. Right.
It might be one of those more of, like, a luxury item for PlayStation Plus people. Like, if you have a really good internet connection as well as your friend, then maybe it'll work fine.
But yeah, I don't even try that anymore because I have a very bad anger issue with lag.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I will lose my mind if I'm lagging. Even even if it's just a little bit, if it's enough to hinder my gameplay, especially since I play online a lot, mm-hmm. I will lose my shit. I just cannot handle it.
But yeah, like, I don't know. I hope it works out for him. I really do. Because sounds like an awesome idea.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be a good idea. The share play really sounds cool. It just, like I said, I think it all depends on
connection
speeds and stuff. Or even if they wanted to do share play the way I was talking about, where you download it,
mm-hmm.
make it to where you download it, but it's still connected to me,
right?
So that you can only use that when you're playing with me.
Oh, yeah.
Like you have the game, but I have to send you an invite in order for you to be able to play it.
Hmm. That's interesting. Huh. But yeah. So SharePlay sounds cool. Sony's constantly trying new things to get people to play games together online.
They really are. And they're that was one of those things when they first started coming out with apps.
Right.
For the consoles. You know, everybody was just kind of like, all right, Netflix is really all I need. Or Hulu.
But there's tons of good stuff.
Nobody really ever used anything like, like most people didn't even watch Twitch on their consoles.
Like with the web browser or anything?
Yeah, like people really would just watch them on their computers, right. Or, you know, their phone or tablet or whatever.
Yeah, I use YouTube on my
But they're getting a lot
PS3 all the time.
Yeah, they're getting a lot better. Like the apps are getting smoother and mm-hmm. better. So people are actually starting to use them and companies are starting to create more that work really well.
Yeah.
So
they're starting to turn into smart boxes.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Xbox One is supposed to be an entertainment console.
Right.
It's not really a game console.
You can run your cable through it.
Yeah, you can run your cable. You can
ESPN.
It has all kinds of like
membership and stuff
like music that. Things and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's really cool. I like the Xbox. I like it a lot. I like the controllers. I think mm-hmm. they did a great job with everything with the Xbox. And the same thing with the PlayStation. I like everything about both of them. I will say one thing though. I like that Xbox, all the games that you download, it doesn't just leave it on your main screen. Because I have so many just like little free games that I've downloaded on my PlayStation that, like, if I don't play one for a while and then I want to play it, I have to like scroll through like 50 different little tabs
get
to the end.
I wonder if you can
change
the options in the menu and like hide that and then just go to your game library.
I wish it would categorize. I don't think it does. I've tried looking at it. Now, I could be wrong. I might look it up later, but I wish that you can, like, on the Xbox. All the ones that you like to play
you can snap them
to the side. I wish that PlayStation would give us something along those lines, like maybe like a favorite bar or something.
Mm.
So I think that would be a good idea, but I don't like how many are there. I think they should keep the last three that you played on the bar, and then keep your stuff like your TV, your music, all that.
Yeah.
They should leave that on there.
Yeah.
But if it's not one of the last three games that you played, I think they should go ahead and drop it back into your library and say, okay, well, if you want it, go to your library.
Right, but before they do that, I want to be able to change my PSN name, so they need to keep working on that.
You can't change your name?
No. I've been stuck with Keebler Elf Ninja since sophomore year of high school. It's like...
That's crazy.
And every time somebody asks, I've, like, explained it, and, like, I just want to put my real name on there.
Yeah, I was thinking about changing mine to Taco the other day.
Taco.
Thinking about it. I was also thinking about making a new Xbox Live account because my email that's on there, I made when I was, like, in middle school. So it's a really stupid email. I don't know why I ever put that as the name.
CaseyMan3 or
whatever. No, it's... I'm not even going to tell you what it is. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
It's just... It was my gamer tag at the time. So I wanted to match my gamer tag with my email
so I would
remember, you know. But what ended up happening was is that I ended up changing my
gamer tag,
but Xbox won't let you change your main login.
Right, yeah.
Email.
You're stuck with it.
Like, I have my current email on there, caseytap1@gmail.com. I have that one on there right now, but that's as a secondary email. I can't log in with it.
Mm.
So I get stuff to it from Xbox, but I can't change it. I can't use it as a login. And it just bugs the crap out of me.
Yeah, I'm just, like... I'm just ready to change my username. Just like, people have been wanting to do this forever on Sony consoles. And they say they've been, you know, they're working / thinking about it, so we'll see.
Oh, I thought you could. I don't know why I thought that you...
No. Not even for a small fee. You just can't change them at all.
Well, that sucks.
But anyway, so now moving, we've been talking about all these young kid games and their digital video games on their TVs and whatnot.
These dang chitlins.
Just ignoring the good classic tabletop games.
Like Monopoly.
No. Screw Monopoly.
Hey, you know what? You may not like it, but you can't argue with the fact that it's like been one of the best games in America.
I know, but I just wish it, like, every time I play it, it seems to last for ages.
Yeah?
In ages, so.
Well, you say that, but what we're about to talk about, we played until 3 in the morning.
Exactly, but it was awesome. So, I never really got into tabletop stuff, like D&D or deck building games, but last week, a friend of mine, Rob, who writes for Couch Co-op, he brought the DC Comics deck building game to his house. And, like, I was really skeptical. I was like, all right, what the horse is this? Some, like, nerdy card game? Is it, like, Magic the Gathering?
Are you playing Pokemon?
Yeah, or, like, I've just never really been able to get into the ones where you have to buy cards.
Yeah.
To keep it going.
Yeah,
So, like, but whenever he said, he was like, no, everything comes in this box and that's all you need, I was like,
it's like buying a board game, basically.
And so, like, we played it, and then we played it again, and again. We played it several times, and
it's not really complicated either.
It's not. It's just awesome. It's just,
because you guys set me down last night, and when I started playing, I was drunk.
Right.
And I caught on. I caught on pretty quick. Now, there's a lot of reading in it, but it's very simple. Everything that you have to do, it tells you what to do when
right.
you do it.
So to paint a picture in your mind, listeners, you have your main deck, which is filled with random assortment of cards, and then each player has a character card that gives them bonuses throughout the entire game.
Mine was Green Lantern.
Mine was Green Arrow. So, and then you also have your supervillain stack, which you like, once that stack is depleted or the main deck is depleted, then the game's over, basically. So, every turn you put out 5 cards in front of everybody, and then you use your power points by cards that you collect throughout the game from purchasing them. And you use the power points to buy whatever's on the lineup.
Your power points are, you have cards that say +1 power, +2 power, whatever.
Yeah.
And some of them say, like, +2 power or, you know, ability to kill all the villains on the table.
Or defensive
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, defensive stuff. But most of them have a +1, +2, +3, plus whatever number of
even
power.
Plus 5. But yeah, it's like, and it's surprisingly simple, like, once you, like, read the cards and know which cards
do
what.
Yeah, they're really, really, it's a really simple game to keep up with.
Like, after one playthrough, like, you're pretty much set to go every time.
Yeah.
So, like, there's no, like, new rules or anything, although I did play one mode that was called Crisis Mode for fans of the DC Crisis comic lines. And so you work together as a team to defeat the Crisis deck and the Supervillain deck. But before you get to the supervillain deck, you have to take out a crisis. And then you can take on the supervillain. So, like, you're all working together, using your characters to complement each other and get to the end of the thing.
Yeah, I didn't get to play that. They were playing that when I got home, but I was drunk. So
yeah, that one takes quite a bit of time. And we lost at the very end.
Yeah, you had one card left.
Yeah.
You had one villain.
It was fun, though. Like, it's super entertaining, and it's just, like, one of those, like, passive games. Like, you do kind of have to think about your own strategy and everything, but, like, once you get in the flow of it, then you can just carry on normal conversations and keep playing and stuff.
Yep.
So, I'm really wanting to check out the Lord of the Rings version they have of that game. They have the Fellowship of the Ring, Twin Towers, Return of the King, or I think they might be coming.
Do they have a Firefly version?
I don't know. That'd be cool, too, though.
They should.
We should look into that. Like, now, once I get my apartment in the near future, now I know, like, what to populate my apartment with, and that is deck building games and video games.
Yeah.
And it's just, like,
yeah,
it's a new type of, tabletop games discovered.
Tabletop games are fun to play. I know a lot of people knock on D&D.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really are a nerd, you may not think that game is going to be cool, but if you really are a nerd and you have, like, I would even say most gamers have the mindset to play D&D and would love it. But the thing is that
there's that stigma around it that, you know, these are kids who wear the robes and the hats.
Yeah, and it's really not. I mean, the first time I played it, I was young. I was a kid. But I was sitting there in a freaking cutoff T-shirt that I had from my football. You know, it said SR Wildcats on it. And my uncle's sitting there. He's drinking a beer, and he's an electrical engineer, or a mechanical engineer. And he's just smart as a whip, you know. Mm-hmm. But the thing is it's not really, you can sit down, you can take a bunch of jocks and set them down and let them play, and it's just fun because it's not, you're a nerd because you play it, it's, your character becomes the person that you really are. So like me, I'm really wild and I do crazy things, so whenever I play that game, I do stupid shit that people are just like, that's not gonna work, but it does. If you can get the right number, it does, it works.
Right.
But it's all about imagination. So if you get a good group of people together and sit down, especially if it's people like us, we like to talk about strategy and stuff like that. We would do good doing that kind of thing. But then, you know, there are people that probably wouldn't get their heads around it, you know, because there's a lot of – the reason why D&D is not as popular as it used to be is because nowadays with video games and even like this deck building game, the deck building game is very simple. It's not hard to understand. If you have even one person that's played it before, they can teach you in just like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not that hard. And then video games are so just point and click nowadays. And I know that's kind of a broad spectrum for that.
Right. It's a genre, but it also is a term. Like, you just give them controller.
Yeah, you give them a controller. You say, A does this, B does mm-hmm. this. It's very straightforward on what you can and cannot do. But whenever you play stuff like D&D, you can literally do anything.
Right.
Even though it's all kind of like you're telling a story. Every person on the table is putting in to tell a bigger story.
Right, yeah.
And it's a really cool idea, but the thing is that when you're doing that, there's so many possibilities, and there's so many things that factor into your, like, attack, your movement, mm-hmm. Stuff like that. Now, I mean, your movement's not really that big of a deal, but, like, say, if you say, I want to walk to this door. You don't have to roll a die to walk to the door.
Right.
You don't have to roll a die to open the door unless it's locked. And then you have to see if you can break that motherfucker down. But, yeah. But anyways, but there are times whenever you'd say, I want to walk to the door, and whoever the leader, the dungeon master, will say, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, well, by the way, there's a big hole in the floor, so you have to see if you can jump over it. Or if it's a trap and you end up falling into it, you have to see if you either, you know, can jump out of the way in time, if you catch the edge of the hole, you know, and you're hanging there. And it also comes into account how many people are around you, so, you know, that kind of stuff. But the hardest thing about it is, if you're going to have, and there's a lot of games, this is not just D&D, because there are plenty of tabletop games out there like D&D, and a lot of them are hard to play, because you have to have somebody that's played it extensively, or has read into it extensively, to lead the group,
right.
Because there's a lot of calculations to mm-hmm. go into that. So that's one of the reasons why most tabletop games have kind of fallen out, is because people are taking the video game way, which is, I'm going to say, easier mm-hmm. It's easier for you to just jump in and play video games.
Right.
Now, the video games themselves may be hard, but anybody can pick up a controller and walk around. You know? But not everybody can lead a group of 4 or 5 people and keep track of everything that's going on and the numbers.
Like,
that go
you hear
along
people
with
like keeping tons of spreadsheets and stuff.
Yeah,
for statistics and everything.
And if
like
you
that.
Get enough people, you really do have to.
Right.
But the game can be fun if you can find somebody that can run it for you and just let you be a player. Then it can be fun because they will guide you. If you don't know what to do, you can basically ask them questions, and as long as it is not something that hinders the game, They'll answer you and be like, yeah, you just do this. Is that what you want to do? And you say yes. They're like, okay, well, roll that blue dice that you got over there. And they'll help you kind of run through it. Mm. But I think that's why tabletop games have kind of gone away.
Well, and now they're like...
I would
say, like, people are starting to play more of,
yeah,
more
I,
of them.
Yeah, I would say they're coming back, because I've been hearing about a lot of things, a lot of people playing stuff like the DC deck building game and just kind of other fun things that people will sit down and play.
Right, like tons of people play Magic.
And it may not even be card games. It could be games with a game board. You know? It doesn't really matter. But people are starting to play that stuff a little more often because it's more of a social thing. You sit down and you can have drinks and, you know, loud music, and you're just playing for fun.
It's like turning into the vinyl of gaming.
Yeah.
Basically.
It's the hipster of gaming.
I wouldn't even say it. Like, it's just a different way to play with your friends. It's all-inclusive, so, like, you know, not everybody has a four-player co-op game for your console, or even have four controllers.
Yeah, because you can buy a deck-building game or a tabletop game
and have up to five people play.
Yeah, and let's say you could buy,
like, the,
I don't know, you could
the core deck-building game is, like, what, $30,
Something like that. But you can buy a tabletop game for, I'm going to say, roughly around $60. Mm-hmm. But if you want, and you could play up to, like, 5-10 people on that thing. But if you want to play four people on a console, you have to buy the console, which is $400 to $500. You have to buy four controllers, three extras. Those are each about $65, okay? So that's going to bump you up another $180.
Yeah.
Right?
If your friends don't have
it. Yeah, I mean, if your friends don't have it, you know. But, I mean, if they have them, just play online, you know.
Yeah.
And then you have to buy the game. You have to buy your subscription. You have to buy, anything else that you may want to play, like, you know, DLC or whatever. Mm-hmm. You have to buy all that stuff. And it's a lot more expensive. You want to buy an add-on pack to Dungeons & Dragons? You go out and buy a book. It's $10. it's easy. And it's a lot cheaper, and it's a lot more social. Like, you actually are sitting in front of each other, and
in the same space.
You can laugh laugh and cry, you know, together.
Wow.
Whatever. You know.
D&D, you'll cry, but only with your friends.
You know, I've never cried playing D&D, but I'll tell you, there were a few times where I just looked across the table, and I was like, damn.
That's funny.
That just, like, everybody falls into a trap. Crap. What are we going to do now? Jeez, somebody has to roll a perfect 20 just to jump up and grab a ledge.
Gosh.
It's like, shit's crazy. That's why you need to hold hands and space yourself out when you're going down hallways.
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious.
But yeah, I mean, it's fun. And the deck building game was definitely fun. I sobered up playing it, actually. Because we sat down and we played it for, what, 3 hours?
Yeah.
I didn't even feel like it took that long. It really didn't.
It was awesome. Like, that's what I played for at least 8 hours yesterday.
It kind of felt like a geek or nerd version of sitting down and having poker night.
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
That's kind of what it felt like.
Yeah.
And it was cool. And, you know, Red had he had the little placemat.
Yeah,
and
he went all out.
Slots.
He got all of it.
He had a lot of cool stuff in there. And it was cool because, it was my first time playing it. You guys had played it a few times. Mm-hmm. It was my first time playing it. Even though I was playing against you guys, everybody was still like, that card's good, that one's better than this. And it was, even though we were against each other, we were all still kind of like playing together, you know? And it was really cool. I like it. But next time I want to do co-op because I want to see what that's all about.
It's rough.
I want to see it. I'm all about it, man. That's me.
Yeah.
I'm the multiplayer guy.
Well, yeah. It's like tabletop gaming is, it's a new area that I will be exploring for sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind getting into it. I think it would be a lot of fun.
For sure, for sure. Well, that wraps up the 8th installment of the Couch Co-op Podcast. Thank you guys for listening. If you want to go check out our website, go to couchcoop.net. Actually, it's couchcoop.net. No dashes in there. So, you can also follow us on Twitter at couchco_op. You can go like our Facebook page at facebook.com/couchcoopgaming. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/couchcoopgaming. And then you can go follow our Twitch channel, which we kind of Twitch from regularly now, at twitch.tv/couchco_op. And also, if you're listening to this podcast, there's a high probability that you really like what we're doing. So, you can go to the About CCE page on couchcoop.net, and if you would like to, you can donate to the website and help us improve our content and our site. So, do that if you want to. You know, we're a bunch of chumps. We ain't got no money. So, feel free to buy us our next beer.
Yeah, that would be great.
Not really. It won't go towards beer.
If you see me somewhere, you can buy me a beer if you'd like.
No, that's true too. But, so, to always be in touch on the latest and greatest in gaming, comics, TV, movie, and whatever the horse else, tabletop card game news, go to couchcoop.net. That's it. We've made it this far.
Oh, no, we've missed way more.